Blog Talk Radio.
Me. Trust in me.
Yes, sir.
Good morning. Good morning, all. Thank
great
you for joining us on
this. Great to have you. Yeah. You know, haven't been able to officially extend my congratulations on air for completing your undergraduate studies. Surely, you know, that is something to celebrate, am I right?
Yep. Yep.
You yes, see, and, you know, congratulations to that. Society, you know, and so many things for a young man to make such a step, and you know, they call it a step into the real world. Once you've made that move, it's an opportunity to take on more responsibilities in life, and you know, in this being joined here on KFT is moving beyond the campus. You know, and it's just great to have you. You've been doing so much great work. Also, your work on campus in the other ministry, which I give you a bit to talk about. You talk about that extensively on Kept on Campus. But, you know, all the work you've been doing in ministry, you know, it helps to contribute to this subject today. Mm-hmm. Kingdom Foundational Truth Number 7. We're continuing with the subject of love, hard to contain it in one sitting. Surely our whole opportunity is to invite those to the great conversation we have.
Yes, Lord.
But before we get further into the subject, surely it's much to unpack mm-hmm. on this mighty thing called love, and even the person of love. We must approach his throne of grace. So if you all will join us in a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, in your Son Jesus' name, we truly thank and praise you for this blessed opportunity to partake of your good word today. Thank you for waking us up with minds to serve you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come and reason together with you at the helm of our lives. Lord, we turn it all over to you. Everything we've been heavy laden and laboring with, Lord, we exchange for the rest that you promise, the rest that you provide. We thank you for this opportunity, O Lord, and all these things to carry on this conversation for your namesake, inviting all those, Lord, who are yearning to get to know you, praying, O Lord, that you bring us together in unity. Let your spirit of love and unity be about us as we reason together. Though we may come from different backgrounds and different areas of life and of this world, Lord, we trust you to unify our souls, praying for unity throughout your body in this world. Those who call on your name, those who dare to reside as citizens of your kingdom, Lord, bring us together as one. And as we look to you now, our prayer is that you will use us to do great exploits. Lord, let there be nothing that impedes on our relationship with you and our relationship with each other. Lord, we pray that you remove anything and everything that's not like you. Cover us with your blood. Wash us and cleanse us as only you can. And praying for all those listening on now as well as in the future. For this is our prayer and our asking that your will be done. Your praise go forth and the glory be thine. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we are blessed as ambassadors to represent, you know, just to explain quickly, as ambassadors, we stand on the passage in 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Yes, the clarion call is being sounded that we as souls in this world, as a people, will be reconciled, brought back in tune with the great God, our Creator. Surely that is our edict as we go forward, is to beckon you, come and know this true and living God. Through his Son, Jesus Christ. You are welcome. And my fellow colleague, Ambassador Winston III. What's on your heart there, young brother?
Well, there's a lot on the heart, and you know, it's a very good segue into our subject of the day, matters of the heart, but connecting it to love, the seven foundational truths, which we are continuing here. As you stated, you know, part of love is that unification. And this is an opportunity for us to come together and speak on the matters of the spirit, what the spirit is saying to the kingdom. And, you know, if you're listening right now, you can call in at any time during the broadcast and join in and speak what's on your heart and what the spirit is saying to you at 914-803-4491. And just dial one to let us know that you are looking forward to getting into this conversation. This is a clarion call, as my father stated, to continue the sound of unity. And with love, especially, you know, this is about coming together and helping one another, building each other up, building up this kingdom. So that more people may be blessed by God's Spirit in this world. This is something, you know, as it pertains to love, we see it all throughout the Bible. God sharing his love with us, but also people showing love through sharing God. And there's one passage in particular that I always find very, very key in seeing what love looks like, seeing one of the many ways that we can share love. It's found in 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm just going to read through the first few verses, just to paraphrase the first few. This is Paul speaking to the Corinthians about gifts, because there were there was debate over which gift was better, the speaking in tongues and Dan was saying, but he said, if you do not have love, you are just, he said, you are a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. You're just making noise, is basically what he
said.
That's
right.
And you can give all you have, you can do all these so-called, quote-unquote, good things, but if you don't have love, then you have nothing. And he goes on to say in the fourth verse that love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. And this goes on. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes, always perseveres. And this goes on throughout this chapter. The many facets, the many ways that we show love. And to reference a passage in 1 John, God is love. So
that's
when
right.
we do these things, we are showing God to other people.
You know,
I don't
and,
think
you know,
it
that's
is.
That taking up right there. We that's the general. We covered a lot of that in the previous episode last month, and that is the general, and it's a powerful statement. In many people's eyes, it's lofty. But that's how God sets these standards, giving us something to reach for. And,
right.
you know, we want to cover these many facets of love because, you know, we know the range of love ranges from the love of your favorite food to the deep, deep agape love that, as you brought up in that passage in 1 John, the 4th chapter, that God is love, you know.
Right.
And, you know, Winston, it's interesting, in every other religion that you see in the world, the ones around the world who are, you know, we see the full range, even in Christianity, you see the range of things that are obvious displays of benevolence, but then you see mm-hmm. things done in the name of love that, you know, are questionable at the least, but controversial,
right.
you know, at
mm-hmm.
best when you see these bombings and suicide bombings in the Middle East, you see folks shooting up movie theaters and such, you know, and
yep.
some people have even done this in the name of using God's word, using
mm-hmm.
Some sort of religious tenet for their beliefs. We even see in the Old Testament how God destroyed many things because of man's disobedience. So surely
mm-hmm.
we must distinguish what this love really is. And yes, this 13th chapter shows us one of the greatest articulations of what love is. But, you know, there are many assets of what love is, many aspects, I'll say. I found
mm-hmm.
this interesting. The editor of this Hebrew Bible that I have, Hebrew-Greek Bible, as he expands on agape, what we call the ultimate love, the God kind of love, if you will, it says, this agape love is not shown by doing what the person loved desires, but the one who loves deems as needed by the one loved.
Right.
You see. And that's one of the greatest things to say about how God is. It reminds me in the beginning, in the third chapter, you know, many of these things, when we talk about getting an understanding of how God is toward man, how we are to be to him, you can go back to that origin and reference it. And, you know, if it's unclear, that's a great place to start for you to truly know what God's intentions are for man. You know, in the third
mm-hmm.
chapter, after Adam and Eve fell in the garden, they partook of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. They covered themselves with leaves because of their nakedness. But in the 21st verse, you find it interesting, and it says, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them. He replaced what man used to cover up his shame, which was leaves, with the coats of animal skins. And you can't have animal skins lest there is bloodshed from that animal. So thereby the covering of blood covered his sins. This is what God knew was better. This is what God knew what was necessary for man. And we see it throughout this Bible that how man, as God gives him his free will to reign in this world and to have dominion, as he stated in the beginning, man tried to do things his way, you see. We see it throughout the Bible as well as in our lives today, how man tries to do things his way. And, you know, the challenge comes to us, how's that working for you, you know?
Right.
When we take things in our own hands, we try to cover things, we try to cover our own bases, and it's good to be responsible that way. But then comes God to establish, okay, what the right way is. You know, what do you think about that?
That we have a habit of twisting things. We always have. From the very dawn of time, we've had a way of either twisting things or allowing the enemy to twist things for us. And love is no exception. You know, people say, how can a loving God so such and such? When they look at many issues that we face in the world, And it comes from a place of buying into the twist that the enemy has put on things. And, you know, I think, you know, as you're going to see, you know, as we go to the source of what the degrees of this love is and what that agape love really looks like, you're going to see that, you know, we have to get back to the original definition of love. You know, when we talk about true love, we got to get back to the author, what he intended for love.
Yes, I'm sorry. Minor malfunction. When we get back to true love, you were saying.
Yeah, it takes us getting back to the author's definition, God's definition of this true love, and what that really means. You know, and we will see that it's no coincidence that, you know, God is synonymous with love in these scriptures.
Surely. You know, in John 1:1, the Gospel of John 1:1, John so eloquently states, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." And talking about Christ as that Word, this same Jesus we speak of, the same Jesus that we claim as our Savior, became the personification of God's Word. And, you know, we spent much time in most of the last broadcast on the great, what we call, theme of Jesus' conversation to Nicodemus in the great "by the way" statement. I don't think there was a greater BTW anywhere where he said, you know, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, that's a BTW, by the way, you see, as Nicodemus taught his wisdom, you know. But that statement, that display of love, you know, to for God to develop a being, to interject into mankind his seed, and even envelop him in flesh to dwell among us, to show us love. You know, when we really want to see the personification of love, listening to these words of Christ are powerful. You know, in the 15th chapter and the 13th verse of the Gospel of John, it says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend." You know, and this is that pivotal point that we worship. This is that pivotal point that shows the great love of God, how wrapped in flesh, his Word personified, was crucified, was sacrificed. And we literally saw, and we see in Scripture, and they saw a man lay down his life with all the power that he had, being very man, very God. He gave up his life for not just those that were there that he spoke to at the moment, not just those of his time, not just his people of the Jewish origin, but all of mankind, you see. Whosoever believes that that was the case, he gave his life for the salvation of man. You know, we saw that in the shedding of the blood that covered man's sin. So it is, this great King Christ, this is what he did for us. Now, it behooves us, and there are many challenges in today's society around this world where Christians' lives are at stake. Just heard a news report of over in the Syrian region how ISIS just kidnapped a group of people, of whom were many Christians. And we've seen those exploits of those who lost their lives for their belief, for their faith especially, you know, their stand as Christians. You know, we as believers here in these states, we've been spoiled and tend to take for granted that there are so many in the world whose lives are literally at stake, you see. And this is something, because of your belief, you know, the challenge that your life is at stake, that's magnanimous. You know, surely it's a great honor, as we see, to live as Christ, but to die is gain, because that everlasting life is there before us. It's signed, sealed, and delivered when we make that sacrifice. But we here in the States, you know, this scripture purports how this laying down of his life, he literally did it. But, you know, we have that opportunity daily to make the sacrifice of our will versus his will. We're going to get more into this, these facets of love, this laying down of your life, this sacrifice that it takes for being a believer, and all of what that means and the power thereof. We want to unpack this power of love after we hear this word from our sponsor. So on the other side, and you are welcome to call in at 914-803-4491, or you can join us in the chat. But on the other side, we'll pick it back up.
The mission of Kingdom United Ministries Network is to unite, promote, and expand the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the sake of souls. The vision of this ministry can be found within the theme of Matthew 25, verses 33 through 45, which in essence is what you have done to the least of these, you've done to me. We invite you to visit our website at www.kingdomcomenet.com. That is www.kingdomcomenet.com. Through this network of ministry broadcasts and online features, we are touching the world for the kingdom.
Our weekly broadcast, which airs each Sunday evening at 6 o'clock p.m., Dying to be Married with Winston and Sandra Lewis, deals with the true process of holy matrimony between a man and a woman and Christ and the church, so they are no longer two but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. Matthew 19:6.
Our monthly lineup is the first through the fourth Saturday of each month at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and can be accessed via their web pages listed on the website of Kingdom United Ministry Network. There you will also find previous archives and relative ministry resources.
For our women's ministry, which airs on the first Saturday of the month, we have Naomi's Daughters, hosted by Ambassadors and Women on Fire, Sandra Lewis, Latoya Walker, Kathy Thompson, and Sister Linda Mariah. Stop by Kingdom's Kitchen for inspirational blogs. And visit our sister site, Minister Debbie Miranda's Radiant Tree Productions, LLC, for holistic health and organic skin and hair care products and information. Find us on Facebook.
On the second Saturday is Kingdom Foundational Truths, highlighted by Ambassadors Winston Lewis and Antonio McCoy, which is an open conversation of foundational truths that every Christian should know second nature, highlighting the basic principles of Christian faith. while reserving the right to go deeper and prompting open discussion.
On the third Saturday, we have Kept on Campus, which is a ministry that broadcasts serve as a monthly forum for young adults to tune in and discuss what's happening on our campus, both physically and spiritually. Join the conversation and encourage others to participate as well. Let's talk about what's happening on your campus, in your community, or in your life. Find us on Facebook at https://kept on campus.
And on the fourth Saturday, Kingdom Kids Network. Kingdom Kids Network is our youth ministry and is hosted by Junior Ambassadors Clinton,
Sandy Monty, and we are Kingdom Kids. Together, we are reaching our peers, talking about the challenges of our youth and the solutions for Jesus Christ.
Visit our website and view other ministry features and resources, including previous guest websites, Bible resources, blogs, and much, much more. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, visit our expansion and donation page, where a secure donation can be made, or write us and mail in your donation to Kingdom United Ministries Network, P.O. Box 51661, Kalamazoo, Michigan 49005. If you'd like to be a guest on any of our broadcasts or are led to become a part of this network, send us an email by going to the broadcast page and provide us your contact and ministry information, or send to KUMN@kingdomcomenet.com. Follow us on Blog Talk or send us your email or social media information for regular updates. And as always,
You are welcome.
Welcome back once again to Kingdom Foundational Truths. We are continuing our conversation concerning the great subject of Foundational Truth Number 7, the great L-O-V-E. And we have previously established that, as it states in John, 1 John 4:8, God is love. You see, that's where we begin. But to say that says there are so many different facets and aspects of this great subject of love. Ambassador Winston, we were discussing those many aspects, and in particular the sacrifice that is necessary for love, for love to be displayed. We talked about the sacrifice of Christ and the laying down of his life for his friends. But what do you think it means today in modern society to sacrifice for love?
I believe that when we talk about sacrificing for love,
yes.
Like, I think in some ways it does have there is a different sense of sacrifice, because not everyone will be actually laying down their life for someone else. Not everyone else will be putting their lives on the line in some ways. But I think that in terms of sacrifice, you know, it looks like sacrificing your time, sacrificing what you want to do for other people. You know, and I think that, you know, we can think of times, we can think of situations where, you know, someone came to us in need, and it might have been an inconvenience to you in some way, shape, or form. It may seem like, you know, it may be against what you want to do. But, you know, if it's for caring for someone else, if it's for helping someone else, you know, love is sacrificing what you want to do, what you want for the benefit of someone else.
Sure.
You know, that's love.
And, you know, when we talk about the displays of love and the different facets, when you're speaking about this sacrifice, in John 14, the 14th chapter in the 23rd verse, when Jesus was speaking to his disciples who were later esteemed apostles in particular, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. You see, and, you know, this is the great distinction when we're talking about love and the display of it as believers. You know, our display, what you say and how we sacrifice for others, surely that's it falls right in line with what Jesus said about how God showed his love to the world by giving, his only begotten son. You see, the laying down of his life for his friends, you know, not just speaking of those who are present in the conversation, what we read in the 15th chapter of John, but the great resounding sacrifice that Christ made on the cross that delivers whosoever, you see. And our return in this agape love, in the continued reading of this definition of the great editor Zodiates, it says about agape, it is God's willful direction toward man. But for man to show love to God, he must first appropriate God's agape. You see, for only God has such an unselfish love. He must embrace it. You know, and this is part of our mission as ambassadors, is to call you to God, to sound the alarm. Come and see. You see, the psalm says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You have to make a step. You see, this is the challenge to us today. You know, in these foundational truths even, we begin it by speaking of how God reaches out toward us as a father. As the Son through Jesus Christ, God reaches us. As his personified word, Jesus speaks. His Holy Spirit is the one that draws us in, and it's the vehicle by which God the Father and Jesus the Son make their abode to us, as it goes on to say in that 14th chapter of John. But the reality then comes to our responsibility. You know, and in this point-and-click, drive-through, fast-paced society, you know, we tend to get lazy, you see. We tend to take for granted such a sacrifice. We tend to take for granted that we have this great advantage to partake of this power. We tend to take for granted in our cushiony church buildings and cushioned pews and such, how you can even, they have whole channels dedicated to and whole networks, and thank God for them, you know, whole channels dedicated to spreading the gospel. And we tend to get lazy in our participation. But, you know, it behooves us as believers, you see, to tell someone else, to make the sacrifice that someone else know this Christ. And this display of his word in our lives, he says, those that keep my words, they are mine. That's how we show love to God, by keeping his word. Surely that's a sacrifice. You know, Winston, yep. I personally know the good work you've been participating in, especially on campus. You know, what? Tell us a little bit about that ministry and how you learned this love walk.
Well, being a part of InterVarsity on Western's campus, you know, a lot of it has been at Western Michigan University's campus.
Uh-huh.
You know, one of the big things that I learned was it was that love is reaching out to people. being vulnerable and being open to people, you know. I think especially in Western society, you know, we have this thing integrated into our faith where, you know, as long as I'm straight with God, I'm good. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, we're called to reach out. We're called to not only share the gospel, but walk with people. You know, Jesus didn't just give people the word and then just have them go on their merry way. He invited them to walk along with him, to follow after him. He ate with them. He spoke with them. He walked with them. And that was one of the big things that I've learned being a part of this campus ministry, was that it's important that, you know, not only are we sharing this gospel, we're living it, and we're living it with people in very real ways, very practical ways, you know. Everything wasn't the Sermon on the Mount for Jesus. You know, Jesus was sitting and eating with people. He was living life with people, you know. Yes, we do have those big moments where, you know, people want to give their lives to Christ. People want to, you know, make a complete 180. We do have those moments, but what leads to those moments is living life with people, you know.
That's right.
And that's really one of the big things that I've taken away from being a part of InterVarsity on Western Michigan's campus, is that, you know, the gospel is about living, is about living it and living it with people. And
absolutely.
That's the crux of sharing love in a practical way.
You know, and, you know, that's so important in your youth, in that atmosphere, which is so diametrically opposed to the Christian lifestyle. In so many ways. And, you know, you can join the conversation at 914-803-4491. Just press 1 when you're ready to speak. But that is the great thing about that opportunity that you have. And ministry, you know, preserves you through those things. When you have that moniker of who it is I represent, and your participation and your outward stand, you know, surely those are things that will truly keep you on campus and in any atmosphere. That's why it's so important to profess your Christianity, so that you can display it, so that you can stand accountable and responsible for your actions, you know, because surely actions speak louder than words. That's what Jesus was saying in that 14th chapter. We have a caller whose last four digits are 0476. If you would state your name, please, you are welcome.
Hello, good morning. This is Debbie Miranda.
Good morning, Ambassador. How are you?
Good morning.
I am blessed. I am blessed. And I'm just enjoying the show and with you and your son. And I just wanted to just give a few nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
Your son so eloquently really said what's really in my heart, and that is we have to go back to the source of love. And the scripture that you quoted, God is love, it is so clear that that is the source. And a lot of times we are looking at sources of love, whether it's through others, you know, that we're trying to find love from, but we have to go back to the source, and God is the source. It is not until we go back to the source that we can know what the true meaning of love is. And that is unconditional love.
That's right.
And the word unconditional, we don't use that in modern day term anymore, because so many instances we see where love is conditional. And even in our general population, how things are really becoming violent, and so many things are ignited just by one word. A lot of times when we go to the source of love, and the source being God.
Mm-hmm.
And really, when we're tapping into the love of God, we have to tap in from within. And as believers, now we're not talking about unbelievers, because unbelievers, I don't really personally feel that unbelievers can experience the unconditional love that God gives.
That's
because
right.
It is only when you experience the unconditional love for yourself from God above that you know really what love is.
That's
because
right.
we equate mm-hmm. love with different facets of life, romantic love, you know, and there's so many different definitions of love out there.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't always feel romantic against an individual, and that is when the agape love, the unconditional love, have to come out. And
sure.
in our society, sometimes it takes just not necessarily turning the other cheek like Jesus did, because Jesus is our ultimate example, and we want to do everything that he would do. But not all instances where we're going to want to turn the other cheek and let someone hit the other cheek.
You see, Lord have mercy. Surely
sometimes.
That is something to strive for, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That is a work in progress for me, I can tell you.
me as well, and that's why I'm saying it. But sometimes it is simply turning away from a situation, walking away from someone that has offended you. We
mm-hmm.
take so many things personally.
That's
so
right.
sometimes we have to just walk away. And if we are not walking away from certain situations, what positive aspect are we putting into a conversation or into a heated argument with our coworkers, with our family members, or anyone we come in contact with, a stranger? If we can't do what Jesus did, part ways, I know that God is not asking us to just be there and just, you know, like you say, it takes a process. We're not expected to be just, you know, perfect, and we're living in an imperfect world.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
we have to use the love of God. We have to always go back to the source of love. And the fruit of the Spirit that God gives us through the Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, if we are not utilizing those fruits of the Spirit, we cannot openly display the love of God, because that is where it comes from. All the fruits of the Spirit comes from the Holy
sure.
Spirit within us. And we have to just sometimes dig deep and find out what it is that is blocking us from bringing out those the gift of love, which is the ultimate gift.
Yeah.
That's the truth. Thank you for those great and precious words, Sister Debbie. And it's the truth today. It's a process. We're all learning to love, you know. And I encourage you all to continue this journey. If you haven't started it, as Ambassador Debbie brought out, you can't do it on your own. Not this agape, not this unconditional. It will take a power beyond you. That power is God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, with the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. This 14th
mm-hmm.
chapter of John brings it out the best when we talk about the three as one working together. You see, talked about how those that don't believe Christ, they can't carry out his word. They don't show love by upholding his word. And the 14th chapter and the 26th verse of John says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." This is that keeping power. When we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus died for our sins and rose again, then comes the indwelling of this Holy Spirit, which will help us to keep these words. We take this for granted in such a way when, you know, we have an opportunity every day, be it
yep.
with our family members, be it with total strangers, And I tell you, one of the greatest opportunities to show love is for those that seem unlovely. You know, mm-hmm. we have that opportunity every day. Those that seem, those who do us ill. After all, that's what Christ showed, is how he died for us while we were yet sinners. When we, by all accounts of the eyeball test, didn't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
You see, in the same instance, our test, our challenge comes every day when we interact with these precious souls that we're surrounded by. And surely it's a work in progress. You know, starting with our family, I take advantage of this opportunity to have my dear son sitting in with me today. And I thank you, son. But, you know, it is one of the ways that I truly begin to see this love, this unconditional even at that, when this young man was born and raising him, and it's been a pleasure. I really began to see a father's love for his children, you see, taking the opportunity to see, you know, that other side of love that says, I sometimes will have to discipline you. I sometimes mm-hmm. will have to do things that you won't like, but are for your own good. And truly, that's what God is showing us through our life's challenges every day, putting us in positions where, and yeah, I do believe we're super sensitive these days for so many reasons, but, you know, we will be offended almost daily and throughout mm-hmm. the day by interacting with these souls. But that is an opportunity. The alarm should go off. Ding, ding, ding. It's time to show some love. Roll up my love sleeves. It's time to go to work. And, you know, tap back into this word, and talking about the keeping of his word, that 1 Corinthians 13 chapter. That's why it takes getting to know this word, because it's then that the Holy Spirit will remind us of what love is. When someone offends us, when someone does something that makes us want to blow our stack or say our piece, it's then that time to display that love. And surely it's a process. But we encourage you, dear friends, come to get to know this Lord and Savior. Winston, if you would, close us in a word inviting someone to the Lord.
Yes, yes. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I thank you for this day that you have blessed us with. Lord, I ask that as we expound on what it means to love, Lord, I just ask that that you will just anoint us in your spirit, Lord, and just give us wisdom and patience, Lord, as we exercise this. And for those who are listening, Lord, who may have never experienced that agape love, or they haven't noticed it or realized it in their life, Lord, they haven't realized the love that you have for them, I ask that you will just guide them. I ask that they make the declaration right now that Jesus came and died for them and rose again because you loved them, Lord. I ask that you will lift them up. I ask that you will give them strength. I ask that you will surround them by community that will demonstrate that love, Lord. I ask that you will light their path, and that you will go before them as they follow you, Lord. Surround them. And all these things, Lord, until we come together again, I pray that you would just bless them. That you bless us all, keep us safe, give us wisdom. I thank you once again for this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that prayer. Thank you all for who have called in, those who have participated, those who shall listen in the future. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Then find out what he has for you. You see, there's plenty of room at the cross, plenty of work to do in the kingdom. The harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Come on, dear friends, and get busy and learn how to love. Surely it's the benefit today. So until we meet again, Kingdom Foundational Truths, we're signing off. And to God be the glory in all that we do. And in all these things, we must be careful to give him the glory, honor, and praise.
Thank you for showing up the way. So we want to know what's right for now. You dwell deep. Enough of our day.